The first Sunday after Easter, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came into the world in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. And he who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first day of the week, though the doors where the disciples had gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. They are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, Sunday, goes by various names. It is sometimes referred to as Quasimodo Sunday from the first words of the introit. It's also known as Low Sunday or Little Easter Sunday. It's the octave day of Easter. And then also, more recently, it's been referred to as Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, this comes from the revelation of Divine Mercy to Saint Faustina. This revelation is in line with other revelations that have happened in the past, where our Lord or Our Lady would appear to request certain things and make certain promises according to a devotion. So we can think of the rosary promises and also the promises of the brown scapular are promises which are private revelation. The Church does not give approval to them in the same way. I shouldn't say approval. They're not from the Church in the same way that, like, the Stations of the Cross or other devotions, or I should say indulgences. These are revelation which the Church, they're from heaven, so the Church is not condemning them and supports them, and they are worthy of belief and action, but they are essentially coming from a higher level. This is also true of something like Corpus Christi. Our Lord appeared and requested the Feast of Corpus Christi. He also appeared and requested devotion to his Sacred Heart and made certain promises associated with that. And so Divine Mercy is the same category as these others. Our Lord appeared in 1931 to Saint Faustina and requested that this Sunday, he made a number of requests through a number of apparitions, this Sunday be referred to as Divine Mercy Sunday. Why? Because he wants it to be a special feast for his mercy. In a similar way that he requested Corpus Christi a special feast for the body of Christ. And he gave certain promises. These are private revelations. They are worthy of belief, but the church, they're not official church doctrine, but they are consistent with the church's teaching. And he also gave the chaplet of divine mercy and made certain promises associated with that. Now, it's important to recall that this Sunday, the Sunday that he requested, was in 1931. And it was this Mass itself in which it was being celebrated, in which he requested this to be known as the Feast of Divine Mercy, or the especially associated with his mercy. And it was these readings. And the revelations of divine mercy are perfectly in accord with this feast. We didn't have to change it. Just we have the same readings, and they fit perfectly. St. Thomas was not there on Easter Sunday when our Lord appeared to him. And he's known as Doubting Thomas because he doubted the resurrection. Our Lord came, the doors were closed, and he came in the flesh through the locked door in order to show that he is resurrected, that he has been resurrected. He comes in the flesh. His flesh bears the wounds of the crucifixion in order to show that he's not the same as he was before, that now there is something different. And he is truly there in the flesh. Thomas, of course, doubts. And so 8 days later, on the next Sunday, that would be today, our Lord appears again. And he says, "Come, touch the wounds. Put your hand in the side. Do not doubt, but believe." And what does Thomas say? He says, "My Lord and my God." For what was he doubting? He was doubting the fact that Christ was truly God. What is the faith? When we talk about the faith, in general, it's all the teachings of the church, but in its very essence, what do we mean when we say the faith? They have the faith or they don't have the faith. That is the belief that Christ is true God and true man. St. Peter was the first to believe this. Remember when he makes his confession and our Lord says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." And this was early on, well before the crucifixion. The commentators, the saints, and the early fathers of the church say, St. Thomas then is the last of the apostles to get the faith truly. He doubted, and that it is only 8 days after the resurrection when our Lord appears in the flesh with the wounds, does he then have the full faith. And the saints say then that Thomas then had a great deal of faith, and because of this, he went the furthest from any of the apostles. He left the Roman Empire. Many of them stayed within the empire. He went to India, went all through the East and Asia. We don't know how far he went, but we know he went so far that the church lost contact with the church in Asia for centuries. And then they were rediscovered with St. Thomas's body in India because of that faith that he received. Now, our Lord requested the image of divine mercy to be honored on this day. And we see here the image, the two rays coming from his heart, the white and the red. And these represent the blood and the water which flowed from his side, right? His heart was pierced, so they come from his heart through the side, the blood and water. The water represents the purification. I shouldn't say represents. The water is our purification, our inward purification, baptism, from which we are cleansed from our sins. And the blood is the union that then comes from that through the Eucharist when we are truly united to Christ in his body through the Eucharist. There is a true union there. He unites us, ourselves to him. And then at the bottom, it says, Jesus, I trust in you. That word trust can be understood in terms of specifically faith, but also faith and hope. We make the theological distinction between faith and hope, but they are intimately united. And so that word trust reflects both. Jesus, I have faith in you. Jesus, I have hope in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Trust that he will do what he promises to do. So remember, our Lord then, through the union to himself, he sends the apostles. He sends them on the mission. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now this is specifically to the apostles, but it also reflects anyone who is in the church, who has that baptism, who has been cleansed from sin and from the things of the world, then we are sent also. Sometimes we just think about our purification. I'm baptized, I got to go to confession, and now I'm okay with God. I'm free from sin, I'm free from mortal sin, and that's what it's all about. But that's only half. That's the white ray. Then the red ray is our union with Christ, that we are truly united to him. And as he was sent into the world, so then if we are united to him, then we follow in that mission. And what is that mission? It is mercy. He says that he does not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. The condemnation, well, that's at the end of time. And we shouldn't worry about that. Too many times people are concerned about, oh, you're not in union, and you're in union, and Christ will take care of that at the end of time. If we are united to him, then we need to be united in mercy. The Father sent him to have mercy. His victory on Easter, by which he overcame sin and death, then has to be applied. He won all the graces, he won all the sanctification on his own. But then he wants to apply it to each person through us. This is our union with him, that we are to then carry on his mission. The twofold ray, purification, and also that sanctification and union with Christ. You know, on Holy Thursday, spoke about how the washing of the feet represents the fact that we need to remain, we need to purge ourselves or remain separated from the world, that it's easy for the world to come and soil ourselves, and not through sin, but just through diversions, that we need to clean ourselves. This is the white ray. Not only just baptism, but continually reflecting and putting off the things of the world. This could be anything that is not specifically sinful, but maybe diverts ourselves from that union with Christ. This could be recreational activities or anything. And then the red ray, that is for us then to be merciful. That we have to imitate Christ. And we can do it through the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. We don't have to have money to do this. We don't have to really go out if we're physically unable. The spiritual works of mercy can be done by a bedridden person through prayer, sacrifice. This is what he wants. And he gave then, through part of the revelation, the chaplet of divine mercy, by which he promises a special outpouring of grace for those who recite the chaplet. He gives a special promise for those who recite it in the room of a dying person. He gives promises to those who who honor the image of divine mercy, and especially here on this feast day, on the Feast of Divine Mercy. So, for us, we believe that Christ is true God and true man. But if we believe that, then we have to be united to him. We have to keep ourselves pure from the world and also carry on his mission. Not a mission of judgment, but a mission of mercy. So here at the end, here at the teaching, we will recite the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
and for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and all the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and all the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and all the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us, O Lord.
Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
For
the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. 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 For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, O Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, Son of the Lord.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have
Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. 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 Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.